From the studio in Nitro, West Virginia, this is Unreasonable Doubt. It's a podcast about West Virginia University basketball. I'm Josh Witt. This was the 17th game of the season. It was against Oklahoma. And the good news is that West Virginia is done playing Big 12 games in Norman. And maybe done forever playing games in Norman, Oklahoma. And that is probably good for the Mountaineers because in their 12 visits to Norman, while Oklahoma and West Virginia were in the same conference, West Virginia finished with a 2-10 record in the Noble Center. It's always great. You go to the Noble Center. It can be a Saturday. It can be a Wednesday. It can be any time of the day. Oklahoma could be on the brink of a Final Four. They could be terrible. And you just look at crowd shots in the Noble Center and you see more seats than people. And maybe it's just, they're just picking the spots where the people aren't, because there are humans in there. The two times West Virginia won in Norman, it took Lamont West hitting five threes in 2018. And then the year before, it took a freshman named Beetle Bolden. Remember that guy? He scored 17 points in his 10 minutes on the court the year before. And 15 of those came in the first half. And that's what you needed to beat the Sooners in Oklahoma over 12 seasons. This year's visit, close in the first half. Oklahoma put them away in the second half. Like, it just wasn't there. West Virginia loses by 14. You go into this one knowing West Virginia's record in Norman just as a spot for a team, or West Virginia. Nobody can take away that West Virginia's last win was against a ranked team. Now, did Texas lose to UCF tonight? And did their head coach have a hissy fit because the other team was doing horns down, as people do, and told them to not do that? Shaking hands while also telling your opposing players to not do that. That's what's happening at Texas. Texas and West Virginia are both 1-3 in the Big 12 conference, but West Virginia beat a ranked team coming into this one, and Oklahoma has been good come into this one, losing two in a row on the road coming back home. Just as a spot, it's a bad spot for West Virginia, regardless of how well they're doing, to go into Oklahoma and win. But even so, just watching this game, West Virginia, like, they got out hustled in the second half. Oklahoma getting offensive rebounds, and a lot of offensive rebounds where the guy would shoot it and then just keep going to the rim and get the ball and then shoot it again. And then Josh Eilert went to the zone and it ended with a slam dunk really quickly. What else do you want me to... I can just go down the list. 50-50 balls. Oklahoma got one of them. Got all of them. It seemed like there was one play where, late in the second half, ball's on the floor, Oklahoma guy goes to the floor to get the ball, Raekwon Battle doing like a bend at the waist situation. Like, I'm not getting on the floor. I'm just going to bend. I will bend over to try to get the ball. Didn't you think it was weird that West Virginia was hardcore pressing down double digits under a minute left? I think Eilert was guys, we got to do something to where when I'm out there watching you guys, I feel like you got pep in your step. And so it's a weird last minute, multiple timeouts called, West Virginia pressing. Bizarre, but I think it's in a reaction to what he was seeing for the 10 minutes before that, where it not a lot of life on the court for the Mountaineers. And the defense, you know, a lot of talk about the changes in the defense, got a little more, you know, doing some help defense, kind of slacking off a little bit. And that defense showed promise for three halves in a row. And then, of course, the second half happened and West Virginia gave up over 60% shooting to the Sooners in the second half. There were two missed layups in this game that I'm not kidding. You could tell me, hey, there is invisibility technology and we were testing it out in this game and we tested it out on two of West Virginia's layups. There was a battle layup early where there's no reason for that ball not to go in and it didn't go in. And then in the second half, Kobe Johnson gets to the rim. It bounces, I would say, 5 to 12 times. Didn't count exactly. Bounced in, out, in, around, and ultimately did not go in. It looked like an invisible cat was patting at the basketball. Not like a house cat, because a basketball is too big for a house cat to bat around, but like a lynx was batting it around. Suspended in air, 10 feet in the air, under the basket, patting at the ball. I don't know. I'm watching a cook out there, and I feel relief when he's subbed out. And it doesn't have anything to do with how well he's playing basketball. Every time he gets subbed out, it's not because of substitution patterns. It's like, I've got to get this guy seated. And it just looked, tonight, it looked like a cook was, it was like in line with the energy questions, but we saw what happened in the exhibition game. And that's where I'm at with him tonight, is I was just concerned about him as a human being. Didn't look at his stat line. I think he got a block at some point, but like he's drifting away. Like they're shooting foul shots. Oklahoma's shooting foul shots, and a cook is like drifting away from lining up. Can you get a violation, a free throw violation, if instead of going into the lane, you're walking away from it? Because he did that. Because yeah, I got to get out. I got to go sit down. I don't like that. And I'm not trying to make light of it. I'm just telling you, when I'm watching him, I'm definitely concerned about him as a person. Pat Sumnick in the press conference yesterday saying, Coach Eilert saying that Pat Sumnick is under the weather. He played the night, but his energy was not great. They said he was still dealing with congestion. So vibes suffer when you're sick. Josiah Harris, he started the last three games. In those three games, he has 6 total rebounds. He only had 1 tonight. No offensive rebounds tonight. Seth Wilson, in his last 7 games, has scored 5 points. And all of those 5 points came in one game. And it wasn't this one. And, and the next game's against Kansas. All that happened, and then your next game, you play the Kansas Jayhawks. And knowing how we got here, I just have to tell you what kind of season this is. We're 17 games into the season, and West Virginia, 17 games in, have had 6 opportunities to win 2 games in a row, and they've been successful 0 times. We're 17 games into the season. West Virginia has not been able to string 2 wins in a row. Can you think? I'm an older person. I would describe myself as middle-aged. In my lifetime, I am for certain that WVU men's basketball has not got to the middle of January without winning 2 games in a row. And I'm a middle-aged person. And you could talk to somebody my father's age and say, hey, sir, ma'am, you've been around a while. Can you remember a time that West Virginia men's basketball did not win two games in a row in a season? It's a very specific stat that I wouldn't blame that person to say, I have no idea, but most likely they haven't. I think, and don't quote me on this, but I in my head, if West Virginia has went through an entire season men's basketball without winning two games in a row, there were peach baskets involved. I mean, I think back then, Dr. Naismith had to attend every basketball game. So he probably wrote it in his journal or something like, you know, I watched every West Virginia game. They couldn't win two in a row. I invented basketball, and I've seen every school that I've watched win two games in a row, except that one year for the Mountaineers. I'm James Naismith. I think his friends called him Jimmy. It's that kind of historic season. And you look at the schedule, yes, you get Jesse Edwards back. Yes, Josh Eilert keeps getting reps as a Division I head coach. He has 17 games of experience. But where did the two wins in a row come from? At this point, where do you find them? Because on paper, or not on paper, on computers, you would say, oh, UCF, Oklahoma State. Well, guess what? UCF, you're looking up at UCF in the Big 12 standings. They're 2-2. They've beat Kansas. And they've beat Texas. And then last place, Oklahoma State. So you've got possibly in the cards on January 27th, a trip to Stillwater, the battle for 14th place. And if West Virginia, and it's, but to win two in a row, you got to go to Orlando and beat a 2-2 UCF team. And if you don't do it there, then you look at, there's multiple times where West Virginia's playing two home games in a row. Here's your home stands. Cincinnati and BYU. That's difficult. Baylor and UCF. We've talked about UCF. Jalen Bridges comes to town. He has done well in another uniform against the Mountaineers. Then you go to March, and it's Texas Tech and TCU. Texas Tech finally lost their first Big 12 game tonight to Houston. They got buzzsawed in Houston. And TCU, who's really good this year at basketball. So to get, what I'm saying is, to get two in a row, you've got to win two road games in a row. I don't know the last time, it's been a while since West Virginia has won two road games in a row, period. I didn't research that one. It's just difficult for West Virginia to win on the road in the Big 12, period, full stop. To get them two in a row, they actually got to win two road games in a row. Like road game, road game. Or you just, you know, or speaking of history, there has been a bad West Virginia team, at least one, that has beat a good Kansas team in Morgantown. So that's another way you do it? I don't know. It's going to be real tricky. And so then what's in play? Obviously, this is a historic season, even going into this season, having an interim coach for the season, having the circumstances of the offseason. But then what they're actually going to do on the court could be historic and not the way you want to think about history. Like, obviously, for me, WVU basketball history, when I'm on the YouTube, I'll, you know, at least once a year, go through the 2010 video, right? Or go through the 2005 video. 0405. I don't think I'm going to run back at this point the 2023-2024 basketball season in a, you know what season I want to think about? And that stinks because I am going to watch every game and I am rooting for everybody involved. I don't know why I have to keep saying that, because I'm saying the other stuff and it makes it seem like I'm losing respect or losing gratefulness for everybody that stuck around. But that's still there. But both can be true, is that I really want this team to have success and they're not having success. And they may have the opposite of success. Historic failure seems strong, but in a historic season and not the way you want to be historic. Like that's in play. Ugh, it's not great. Unreasonable Doubt is under the Smoking Musket umbrella. There's another podcast under the Smoking Musket umbrella. West by Pod, WVU football focused. Joel, Jordan, breaking down the pigskin, the gridiron. They bring Jake Lance on to do the season in review. All the highlights of the 9-win Mayo Bowl West Virginia University Mountaineer football team. Check that out wherever you listen to podcasts. Go to smokingmusket.com, read the stuff, go to the Discord, talk with WVU fans about WVU sports and other things. Do all the stuff. Smokingmusket.com. The next game for WVU, as I mentioned earlier, Saturday, 4 p.m., Morgantown, ESPN Plus. Still no network games for WVU, all streaming so far in the year of our Lord 2024. West Virginia will play the Kansas Jayhawks. Kansas is 15-2 coming into this one. Tuesday, they went to Stillwater and beat Oklahoma State by 24. And they're coming to Morgantown. And is this a deep Kansas team? They are not. Do they have to be? They do not have to be. Hunter Dickinson, he's 7'2". Pat Sumnick, 6'7". Or 6'8". Let's say he's 6'8". So Hunter Dickinson's got 6 inches on that guy. Kevin McCullough, 6'7". KJ Adams, 6'7". Dwan Harris, he's only 6'2", but he's got the wingspan. He's got like an 8-foot wingspan. And he's been there forever, even though he's just a junior. The rare junior, Dwan Harris, that has been there forever. And this is going to be tough. Tough sledding. I mean, not a deep team. That's the only it's one of those, like, you know, the Miami Heat, when they were winning championships, they were not a deep team, but they had LeBron and Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh. And this team, they get assists on almost 70% of their shots. So 7 of their 10 field goals made are assisted, which is a crazy stat. So this team's really good at offense, and they're even better at defense. But the good news, not deep, also not a great offensive rebounding team, which is bizarre because they've got a 7'2" guy, and they've got guys who can do that, but they don't have to do that because they make a lot of shots. And they are great at defending. They switch. They just, Bill Self, say what you want. Great basketball coach. And so there is a very big coaching advantage and a very big personnel advantage. And yet, I've seen West Virginia do this before. I've seen it. Like, one of the losing seasons for West Virginia, I believe it was the 2018-2019 season. Kansas came to town. That was a good Kansas team. And one Jermaine Haley got a last second shot, and West Virginia beat Kansas in a season that was their first Big 12 win back in 2019. So it's possible. It's possible. I've seen it before where a not good West Virginia team has beat a really good Kansas team. Will that happen Saturday? That's it for this episode of Unreasonable Doubt. Listen on all the platforms or just pick one. Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, YouTube Podcasts. Oh, I just said it. YouTube! Until next time, I'm Josh Witt, WVU, for the 2023-2024 season. They have 6 wins and they have 11 losses.